It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's football season, and if you follow sports, there's a good chance you've seen ads for online sports gambling lately.
Adults in the U.S. are expected to bet around $35 billion on legal sports books this season alone. That's according to the American Gaming Association. But critics are sounding the alarm on how easy it can be to gamble and how easy it can be for some bettors to become addicted.
A decision from the U.S. Supreme Court in 2018 eliminated the federal ban on sports gambling, opening the doors for individual states to set sports betting regulations.
Wisconsin is among the 38 states that have legalized some forms of sports betting since then, but only in person at selected locations. Wisconsin does not allow online sports betting, though users around the state have used workarounds to bet on booming online sports books.
The head of the National Council on Problem Gambling told NBC News earlier this year that the growth of online sports betting is leading to higher and more severe rates of gambling.
And a key counseling hotline in Wisconsin is getting more calls, too. Rose Blazinski is executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling. Rose, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
People have said, okay, it's one thing that we have enough problems already if you have to go and find betting, right? You have to go to the casino or go to, you know, some private bookie or something like that. There's been concern that given that it can be right there with us all the time on our phones, that's going to drive up the potential for problem gambling. Have you seen that panning out?
I think it's starting to. We're getting more calls, either from people concerned about somebody or someone themselves with questions. You know, certainly when you increase the accessibility, and this is about as simple as you can get on your phone, you're going to have people who are going to try it, and you're going to have people who are going to get addicted to it. And I think we will continue to see that grow as the online pieces grow.
I understand you do class presentations on the risks of gambling. What kind of age groups are you targeting, and what kind of messages do you send?
Right now, our presentations are basically in the high schools. We tend to get teachers who are interested are pretty much like freshman health classes. And our goal is to teach the students that gambling can become a problem, what the warning signs are. We try to give them information on making healthy choices. We don't tell people not to gamble. We just want them to be aware of what the risks are, what the warning signs are, how to make some healthy choices so that you don't get addicted. We know that the younger you start gambling, even, you know, playing a game of poker, the higher chance you have of becoming addicted to gambling later down the road.
Now, I'm not a gambling guy. I do watch sports. I feel like I see a flood of advertising, both straight-up ads and kind of in-game content and things like that. Here's just a little sample from one of the big sportsbook companies. This is DraftKings.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and turn a $5 Super Bowl bet into $200 instantly in bonus bets. The crown is yours.
Now, if you're watching one of those ads or you see the fine print at the end of the ad toward the bottom, or if you hear a radio ad, you might hear the super fast talking word, the call for help,
yep,
sort of thing. Would you want to see more prominent things about the risk of problem gambling? Bigger letters, slower words, whatever it takes to say, hey, there can be problems here.
Well, at the council here and myself personally, we certainly would like to because, you know, most people can gamble for fun, whatever type of gambling it is, and they're not going to have a problem. But for the percent of the population that is at risk and could become addicted, the more information they're given about the risks of it, the more likely that is hopefully to help them. A lot of times people start out as social gamblers, and by the time they get to that line where they're crossing over, it could be too late. So the more information they have ahead of time, hopefully the better armed they are if they need it.
What are some of the warning signs for someone listening thinking, okay, am I crossing a line from fun, occasional social gambling into something worse, something problematic?
Well, one of the basics I always say is if you've always spent a certain amount of money, just say $50, whatever it might be, and you always stick to that and you walk away and all of a sudden one day you're betting $100 or $150. That's the first sign that you're starting to cross that line. So it's really important to pay attention to that. Another couple warning signs are, you know, are you all of a sudden interested in sports where before you really could have cared less, or you're how you think about sports, how you watch sports is changing. Are you doing it much more often? Are you spending much more money? Is it affecting your family, your work? Is it affecting any other areas of your life?
And is it a common specialty for therapists to work with gambling addiction in particular?
It's becoming more so. We provide trainings for therapists to hopefully give them that piece of the addiction pie, so to say, if they are interested in that. It's an important piece to have because there's a lot of crossover. There's a lot of co-addiction between gambling and alcohol, gambling and drugs. So it's really important for counselors to pay attention to that and learn about the gambling addiction, because even though there's a lot of similarities, there's some differences. You know, not all addictions are the same. So for therapists to have training will only benefit their client.
Rose, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Anytime.
That was Rose Blazinski, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling. To learn more about the personal impacts of gambling addiction and what kind of treatment is out there, let's bring in Munther Barakat, a licensed clinical psychologist, director of behavioral health therapy at Aurora Healthcare. Munther, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
We in Wisconsin sort of legalized some sports gambling a few years back. We don't have the full online that some states do. Over the last few years, what have you seen in the state and in terms of patients when it comes to gambling problems?
The interesting part about it is many people who end up getting mental health services related to their gambling, they walk into the door with symptoms of depression, anxiety, or interpersonal issues that come up in their lives. And after getting treatment for a period of time, the gambling addiction becomes something that comes out later on in treatment.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's kind of co-occurring with some of these other problems. So how do you untangle those other things are causing the problem of gambling, or maybe the problems that come with gambling are causing those other things?
Exactly. Yeah, you don't know exactly which one comes first after, without first digging in and getting a good history of their mental health history and how that impacts their behavior. But research does show that many people who suffer from gambling addiction also do have comorbid anxiety, depression. And many of those symptoms contribute to why they hold on to the gambling addiction.
I know for many forms of addiction, in many cases, the person who's addicted doesn't necessarily recognize that addiction right off the bat. What are some of the warning signs for a person or maybe a family member, a loved one to say, yes, this looks like a gambling addiction, or at least on the road to that?
Many times people who suffer from gambling addiction realize that when they attempt to stop or redirect their behaviors, there's a lot of unsuccessful attempts to do that. They also experience many family issues, money problems, a lot of social drivers of health issues come up, and they find that their lives are directed by that. Also, emotions are highly irritable. So people who experience gambling addiction are their emotions are unstable and oftentimes directed by times when they win, times when they lose, because of the unpredictability of that behavior. It creates instability in their emotions as well.
One thing I wonder about with gambling addiction in particular is exposure to things that trigger it. Now, if you can only gamble in a casino, well, maybe you're only going to be triggered for that when you're in the casino. With the rise of online sports gambling, your phone is the casino in a lot of ways. It's not technically legal in Wisconsin. I know in practice people do it. How much does that concern you that the risk is always right there in your pocket?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. It's become easier to access. It's become really ingrained in our everyday lives. The way you watch, even the way sports gambling is advertised on TV and even mentioned by sports announcers while games are on, they mention certain bets or podcasts and fantasy football. People are involved in fantasy football and fantasy sports in general. Even if they're listening to podcasts or information related to their fantasy teams, it starts bleeding into making specific gambling, specific gambles based on if a player is going to score a certain amount of points or which team is going to win. It gets really easy for people to start gambling now, where before you actually had to physically go into a casino, now you could just make a bet very simply on your phone.
I remember as a young guy growing up in Michigan, it's been a day or two now, if I'd wanted to gamble legally anyway, I would have had to drive across the bridge into Ontario and place some bets there. I didn't have that on-ramp, right, to gambling that a young guy or young person in general might today. Does that concern you that younger people might be hitting this at a vulnerable age?
Yeah, I mean, research just is showing that that the younger population is now becoming are the most vulnerable population. And that population has increased significantly with regards to being the population that's gambling now. And it's because they're watching sports, because of the easy access, because of their lower impulse control naturally. Where before, when you had to make that drive, you had a period of time to process through it, or you may be thinking, I don't feel like making that drive today. But now it's so easy just to make a bet just from the comfort of your own home, sitting on your couch.
Now, I talked to the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling about the idea of better warning labels or something better to indicate when you are doing this online gambling or seeing that ad, hey, there are some risks here. What kind of things would you like to see out there? What kind of messages would you like to see in the public attached to gambling?
Yeah, they are already starting to make some notifying some warnings, even when during the advertisements, because we're bombarded with these advertisements. If you're watching sports, you'll see them ingrained like within the actual game and in commercials. They start having these, if you have a problem with gambling, please call so-and-so, and they have these recommendations and what you can do. But what I would like to see is a similar kind of warning being placed on when you're about to make the bet. Mm-hmm. Just to for quick questions to give increased opportunity for an individual to make a decision whether they want to follow through with that bet or not. And that may feel a little invasive for some people, but it will likely help redirect behavior, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to increase the length of time to provide that opportunity for the individual to make a decision on whether they want to follow through with that bet or not.
Now, when we think of a substance addiction, right, there's a chemical process going on in our bodies. What is it about gambling? What is it triggering in us, in our brains, I guess, that makes it addictive in the way that a chemical could be?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't really see or understand how our behavior can actually impact our brain chemistry. Any type of our behavior that's consistent, happens often, ends up influencing our brain chemistry. And it's the same way with gambling. It does impact a reward system. And it does impact neurotransmitters such as dopamine, which increases the likelihood you engage in that behavior. So the more you engage in a particular behavior that's exciting, that generates that excitement, will impact our overall brain, which increases the likelihood. And when you think about gambling in general, gambling is built in a way to increase the likelihood that we'll engage in it again. It's built on a variable ratio reinforcement. You don't know when you're going to be reinforced, when you're going to win a bet, when you're going to lose a bet, but you win probably after the third time, maybe next time you win after the fifth time, or next time it'll be the first bet that you make, you'll win. The reinforcement comes so variable, and that type of reinforcement in itself is the most powerful form of reinforcement that increases the likelihood you'll engage in that behavior again.
All right, and that tells us what we're up against in treatment. What kind of treatments seem to be effective when it comes to, I guess, retooling our brain a little bit so that reward appeal isn't there so strongly?
A big part of treatment is getting family involved and creating a support system. But another component is cognitive therapy. What we notice a lot with individuals who engage in addictive behaviors, especially gambling, they'll have a cognitive structure where they believe that the next time I'm going to win, or that, you know, the next time is going to be the time where I make the money that I want to make. So you're trying to redirect and reframe an individual's thinking. Ideally, when you engage in cognitive therapy for a period of time, it does impact your brain chemistry and start counteracting the damage or the structures that you created by getting into the addiction. So it's a lot of cognitive therapy, but also including encouraging a support system and connecting with others who may have experienced the same illness.
And I know for many kinds of addictions, just to pick, say, tobacco, a lot of times the first attempt to quit isn't the one that succeeds. It might be the second or fourth or fifth or whatever. How mm-hmm. important is it for someone who's recognizing that gambling problem to keep at it, even if that first treatment doesn't kick in right away?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And that's something that with all addictions that you want to help the patient understand that they're on this journey. And generally on this journey, they are getting better, but there's going to be these times where they may relapse or they may have these urges. And the point of it is we're going to keep practicing and keep reframing, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to restructure and essentially just reconnect our brain transmitters to go against what we did with regards to the gambling in the first place.
I want to bring things back to where you started, the idea that a lot of times this gambling addiction, and I think this is probably true of other kinds of addiction, may come along with other things like anxiety or depression. I mean, is effective treatment trying to tackle all those things at once, say the anxiety and the gambling addiction at the same time?
Yes, especially if we have an individual who's been stuck in this gambling addiction for a period of time, you're going to develop secondary symptoms, whether it be depression due to failing relationships because of the gambling, or significant financial issues due to that. You want to try to address the depressive component. And again, you're working on cognitive structures that have been developed through time because of the gambling addiction. So you have to work through anxiety symptoms related to not being able to gamble, because you have that spike of anxiety and worry, thinking about missing out on an opportunity. So you're trying to restructure that and get to the cognitive restructuring of that type of thinking as well.
For that person with a gambling addiction who is doing online gambling, sports books or others, how important is it to get those apps out of there and try to remove, add at least an extra barrier to giving into that temptation?
Yes, it's similar to those who struggle with substance addiction, you know, substance abuse addiction. What we want to try to do is we have to focus on the environment and create an environment to decrease the likelihood that they'll engage in that behavior. And it's the same thing with gambling. In order to increase the likelihood that you'll be successful in your treatment and head towards recovery, you have to modify your environment. That may not only include deleting apps on your phone, but it'll change. You have to change the way you're watching the sport. You might have to change the people you watch the sport with, and the crowd that you surround yourself with that may reinforce gambling or celebrate the aspects of gambling. So there's a lot of paying attention to your environment and modifying it to increase the likelihood that you will get on recovery.
Hunter, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Munter Barakat is director of the Behavioral Health Therapy Department at Aurora Healthcare. Earlier, we spoke with Rose Blazinski, executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling, but talking about the risks of gambling addiction.
Coming up, a legendary Wisconsin cookie was lost to the ages, but now it's back as part of a nature preserve that honors the cookie's creator.
It was his inspiration to see conservation good come of the cookie and the land, and that's what we're following through on.
The return of the gorilla cookie, that's ahead on Wisconsin Today.